These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Where do you think people... I blanked. Go.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi there, everybody. Welcome into the program. Felger and Maserati on a Tuesday in the football season. That means one thing, Maz. What does it mean?
Bedard.
Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal, probably the finest Patriots analyst in town, I'd have to say.
Thank you, Michael.
Definitely up there, if not number one. You're right there. You're in the conversation for sure.
Bedard and Donut.
A lot of good guys here.
We all enjoy your breakdown, so that's why we have you on Tuesdays. You've had a full chance to go over the film. There's the clipboard. You've got your clipboard out. Your charts. You've got everything. So we want a further breakdown from Sunday's game against Houston. Also get into some league stuff with you, as we like to do. But let me just start off with a simple question to you, Greg, and it's this. Was it the Patriots' improved play on defense? Is it more them, or was it more Deshaun Watson?
Well, at the end of the day, it was a little bit about everything. But I will say, look, overall, after watching at the game, by the fourth quarter, I was like, man, this game stinks. I can't tell anything from this game. Watching the film back last night and today, I was a lot more encouraged about the Patriots on both sides of the ball after watching the film. I thought defensively, and actually I started out, I was like, I think I'm going to need to chart how many plays Deshaun Watson doesn't have anybody to throw to. And there were probably a half a dozen of those. But for the most part, the Patriots did much better defensively. In the secondary, the pass rush, Juwan Bentley brought stuff at linebacker. I thought it was all much improved.
Better than what?
Like last year, a year ago, the beginning of the season last year, first four games.
Yep.
But...
Come on, get to it. Answer the question. He asked you a question. Answer the question.
Deshaun Watson was horrendous.
Thank you.
Game.
There we go.
I mean,
that's what I was looking
for. I will say this. Look, when you know the difference, or you could see how great the difference is between Deshaun Watson and a guy like Tom Brady. Because Tom Brady, you know, he could have went down the field and held onto the ball. Did he do that? No. He threw it to James Devlin. I mean, Deshaun Watson had those opportunities to dump it down to running backs or to throw the ball in rhythm of the offense, and he just wouldn't do it. He'd get to the top of his drop, and Brady knows. You watch Brady, he gets to the top of the drop, he's like, I got to get rid of it. You watch Deshaun Watson in this game, you get to the top of the drop, you see, okay, well, he's got a running back in the flat here, he's got a tight end, he could go to here. Does he take it? No. And there are times, like the third down stops that the Patriots had in the red zone, Patriots did what they always do. They're going to double your best target, one or two targets. So,
yeah, in this
Deshaun
case,
Watson lined up on the left. There's two guys there. So you would think Deshaun Watson would be like, okay, I can't throw to that guy. I'm just going to look elsewhere. Nope, he's staring Deshaun Watson down.
You mean Hopkins?
Hopkins.
Down. Hopkins, sorry. He's staring Hopkins down in the end zone, and then he's missing other opportunities. And it was just Deshaun Watson was not ready for prime time.
Yep.
Bill O'Brien probably should have played him for a quarter or, you know, started Brandon Whedon and mixed him in. He wasn't ready for this game. He started looking at the rush. It was just not good. But I don't want to take anything away from the Patriots defense because they were much better in this.
Patriots fans get very sensitive, Greg. They get very sensitive to this.
You know, Watson wasn't good in this game, but the Patriots were much better. The pass rush was better. The linebacking was better. The secondary play, the coverage was much better. I mean, it was just... It was night and day difference from a year ago when we watched this team. So I came away, both sides of the ball, I was encouraged. I don't even care if the Texans don't have an offensive line or they don't have a quarterback. I was encouraged.
No, you don't need a quarterback to win in this day and age, Greg.
And if you don't have a quarterback, what's the use of the offensive line?
Yeah, exactly. You might as well just have five running backs back there.
No, you just might as well snap it and then, you know, put it on the ground on the first snap without being touched.
My only point is this. Like, and look, they won the game. I thought they would win the game, but going in, I thought the biggest thing they had going in their favor was that Deshaun Watson hadn't played in a year. And yes, it looked it. He blew in that game. He sucked, Greg. He really did.
He was terrible in this game. But it's not like the Patriots weren't playing defense and he just missed everything. That wasn't the case. I mean, there was usually like one receiver. Last year, there would have been about four receivers breaking open all over the place.
Was the Patriots' scheme any different? Was it more aggressive?
No. No.
See, I don't feel it was either. No. I feel they've got more guys who can. I thought it looked more aggressive because Watson held the ball, and the Pats, Greg, I think, have guys that if you give them an extra half second can get to the quarterback or, you know, project to. I don't think they're beating guys clean off the line, and it's not like we got Khalil Mack running around out there. But, you know, between Wise and Rivers and Claiborne and guys like this, was Rivers...
Rivers wasn't
He wasn't even in the game. But some of those new guys up front, it feels to me like, if you can get the quarterback to pat the ball just once, just come off your first read, you have a chance to get home. And that's what I thought happened in that game.
Yeah, and that was the case of, you know, yes, part of it was coverage, but also Deshaun Watson is holding the ball almost up to 3 seconds. And anything over 2.5 seconds, forget it. Anybody's going to get home. But, yes, they have a much bigger variety in terms of, you know, how they can get pressure. I thought, you know, Dietrich Wise did a really nice job. He didn't even play that many snaps. Claiborne did okay. But, you know, Trey Flowers was just awesome in this game, and he did what you expect him to do. As a good player in this league, he should take advantage of the subpar tackles in this league. And the Texans started with two. They lost one and had to put a rookie in, and he schooled them. And that's exactly what Trey Flowers should do, especially if he wants to get paid this offseason.
So here's what I would say. I mean, and again, we disagreed on this yesterday, Mike and I. But to me, when I say more aggressive, I'm not talking about they brought seven guys or anything like that. I just mean that in the past, I've seen them mush rush and not even make the idea of getting the quarterback a priority. And it felt to me like Sunday, they at least allowed him to go get the quarterback.
Yeah, I didn't think that there was a whole lot of difference there. I just think the Patriots defeated their guys one-on-one up front. You know, I will say one thing that I did notice is that I think the new pass rushing coach, Joe Kim, that guy, the martial arts hand-to-hand guy, I will say I thought the Patriots
Hold on. I don't even know this.
Oh, yeah, they hired a martial arts guy to help with their pass rush.
With the hands.
Yeah.
Yep. I love that stuff.
I'm down with that. I do think it was effective. I mean, I noticed a lot of guys.
I think that's a great thing to do deep in the offseason, Murray, like during these April camps, like these spring camps. You bring in like a specialty coach like that and you get to work.
Just going to die on this hill.
And you bear down and you get to work on the nitty gritty of the technique and whatnot. I love this stuff.
Mr. Miyagi.
I'm sorry. Go on.
Wax on.
So I think some of that stuff was effective. I mean, I thought Flowers, Wise, Adam Butler, guys like that used their hands really effectively and the Texans weren't ready for it.
Paint the fence.
I don't mock that stuff. I think that little stuff is part of the reason that part of the things that set them apart.
Was there a Brady hit in there that you were going at the off season not being?
Oh yeah, yeah.
The emphasis I put on the off season, which you all used to, but now not anymore because they decided not to show up. So now I guess it doesn't matter. 617-779-0985. Call Bedard on whatever you want. Offense, defense. You're gonna have to do special teams on your own time. Actually, do we? Because the special teams kind of sucked, Maz, so we can talk about it.
I mean, to me, I told you, I got to the point where I was envisioning missed kicks from Gostkowski. So it didn't even happen. But I looked at the special teams play, Greg, and with the exception of the punt at the end of the game, which was obviously a fabulous play. Yep. Okay, all the way around in terms of Allen executing and then touching down at the one. Beyond that, I thought their special teams, uncharacteristically, sucked. Their kick coverage was wretched. Their punt coverage wasn't great. Cordarrelle Patterson took one kickoff out of the end zone, got tackled at the 19-yard line. McCarron fumbled a punt. Like, for a team that puts an emphasis on that sort of play, I thought their special teams coverage, in all seriousness, I thought it was horrible.
No, you're absolutely right. I asked Matthew Slater about it in the locker room, and he was not happy about it. He was borderline embarrassed by the way they especially covered kickoffs. And so, you know, that's not going to stand. I mean, he did acknowledge that maybe, you know, with the rules, they have to do a little bit more adjusting. But, you know, he said all of it was just not good, and when he's ticked off, you could tell it was not good enough.
Okay, so the Patriots also signed two receivers today. Benny Fowler, who you might remember from Denver, and I do, and I sort of like that. I mean, you correct me if I'm wrong, but in my mind's eye, shifty little guy.
Exactly.
You know, probably a good three-cone guy, which is just what I like, they like. He's not I don't feel like a big vertical threat, but just sort of a shifty little guy that, I don't know, I sort of like the sound of Benny Fowler. The other kid they signed, what's his name again?
Corey Coleman.
I feel like purposely not remembering his name. He was drafted in the first round 3 years ago by Cleveland or Buffalo?
Cleveland,
and then traded to Buffalo.
What's the difference?
Couldn't land. So traded, drafted by
for,
one.
For like nothing.
Drafted by one, traded for nothing to the other, and couldn't land on either team. And so why should I even remember this guy's name? But your thoughts on those two signings? Where is this big name Zoe keeps talking about?
I don't know. I like Benny Fowler. I've always thought he's been a little bit underrated. He's a bit like Philip Dorsett, maybe a little bit bigger, a little shiftier, but that type of player can do a lot of different things. I think he'll stick and be here and be a contributor. Can also help on special teams. Corey Coleman, I saw him play at Baylor. I went there to scout somebody else, and he's a good player. Was in college, but man, he's got a lot of dog in him. And that, you know, I hope they don't run him on the second team, and then he goes in and complains to Belichick about it, like he did on Hard Knocks with Hugh Jackson. Like, he's like, why are you running me on second team? You might as well trade me. And try that with Belichick. See how that goes.
So since you brought up Dorsett, I mean, there were a lot of people that put a lot of stock in his game in the preseason. I think there were 4-4 to him. Did you see more of the same stuff in this game? Because he looked pretty good.
It was exactly what I've seen from Philip Dorsett from the end of last season, off season, training camp, preseason. This is who he is. He's been on
I forgot you love this guy.
I do. I'm right again. Slow ascension, you know, that he's had since he's been here. He came in late, and what you look for with guys like that are they getting the playbook a little bit? Are they getting better every week? And you would see that on film, whether it's blocking down the field or running good routes, and he's just gotten better. Chris Price at BSJ talked to a bunch of the cornerbacks about Dorsett after this last game, and they all raved about him, about how much better he's gotten with his route running, you know, how many problems he gives them in practice. So this is, you know, you've raved about him catching. That's actually the most uneasy part of his game.
It looked good in this game.
It does. He's not a natural ball catcher, but he gets the job done all the time. But I think he's a good player, and I think he's totally, I think we talked about this last week. You know, Brandon Lloyd, Brandon LaFell. He can give you that production, and I expect him to give you that.
All right, we're talking football with Bedard. Pepper him with anything you want. Couple open lines at 617-779-0985. Right to you after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5. Sports Hub.
I'm impressed by this New England defense. This is different than last year. We talked about it going into the week. Belichick loved his depth. They're rushing the passer way different than any game we saw last year when we were doing them. And he knows it. He's excited about this defensive team. If you're a Patriot fan, get excited about this defense. They're going to be decent.
That's what Ken Mazz was talking about yesterday from Tony Romo. Strap yourselves in, Patriots fans. Here it comes. Your defense, it's got a chance to be decent.
And the way he pumped it up. Oh, they're rushing the passer differently than they have. Get ready, Patriots fans. You got a chance to be decent.
What is he talking about? They were rushing the pass rusher.
See, I don't feel they were rushing the pass rusher.
They were.
I feel the same way. I think that guys were covered and then some guys got home. That's all that happened. It feels like to me.
They did the same thing that they always do against mobile quarterbacks, where they had sort of like a tweener guy on the edge. It was Van Noy, who did a really nice job in this game. And then when in pass rushing situations, they brought in the sub rushing line, especially in the second half once the score got tilted. And then they just had, you know, Nick Rush going. I mean, it wasn't anything different. I don't know what Romo smoked.
So people like me are stupid.
Well, yeah, that's a given.
Okay. Maureen, are you with me that the pass rush looked different in this game?
Did to me.
Okay, so I'm not
looking at the all 22
no, hold on.
Either,
so. It looked different because they actually got to the quarterback a couple times.
So maybe that's what it is. Again, to me, it just looked like typically with a guy who's mobile with Watson, we've seen it before. They much rush and they just wait there and they don't want to put pressure on him because they don't want to create openings.
Or even when they try to get pressure, they can't. So they got some this game.
I think part of it was also they got a look at Watson in the early going and they said, this isn't the same guy and he's a wounded duck. Let's go after him. And I think that was part of it.
Okay, so your thoughts with Greg, as promised. Here's Mike in Cranston with the question for Bedard. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey guys. Before I get to Bedard, Felger, can I just touch on the FC quick?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I wish you the best of luck. I partake and I do all this. But when you get Wiggy on in the fourth quarter and you say, hey, Wiggy, what do you think of the game? And he goes, oh, I've been at my kid's soccer game all day. I didn't watch the game. And I have to sit there and listen to a guy who literally didn't watch the game.
I hope my boss is listening, because I said the same thing to him. I'm like, why am I doing this? Wiggy just comes in from his Pop Warner game. He's like, what's happening? I'm doing a quote-unquote in-game show with the guy. But anyway, that's enough on the FC, Mike. What do you got for Bedard? He'll watch next time. How's that? Next week he will have watched. Go ahead.
I'm rooting for you, buddy.
Or you can elect to kick a 50-yard field goal for 4 points.
I love that. Oh, wait a minute. Go ahead, Mike.
The Jeremy Hill loss, that big back roll, I know, Felger, you're probably going to laugh at me because, you know, you don't believe in running backs, but only a few guys have really been able to, you know, put up 1,000-yard seasons and punch in touchdowns, and I think that guy's a lot tougher to replace than you may think. And, you know, valuable in the tomato can game, valuable in, you know, bad teams just want to run the football. I think that role, I think he was going to do very well at it, and I think it's going to be a lot tougher to replace than people think.
Okay, so Mike, thanks again for the call. You know how I feel. I think it's a 0.0 factor. No issue that they lost Jeremy Hill. None, 0.0, in fact.
And I agree with you, Mike.
Thank you, Wiggy. It may actually help him because you know the Bengals are going to get in a big game late in the season and fumble. So you now saved yourself from that. But you tell me, does he have a case there, Greg?
He does have a case there because the Patriots do like to have a bigger body bash, especially later in the season. I mean, not necessarily a guy that needs to carry the load, but they like to have that option if they need it. And right now they don't have that.
Who was the guy last year?
I don't.
They didn't really have one because it doesn't matter. They didn't have one because it doesn't matter.
Well, maybe if they had one against the Eagles, it could have run a little bit.
Well, I don't think that was the issue.
Clock now.
I think they can get that part of it out of Burke this year now. I mean, he's not, you know, he's strong anyway.
I mean, I thought Gillislee got some of that last year, but it doesn't. Go ahead.
No, but that's all with Burkhead now. But my worry about Burkhead is that he gets hurt too. Then one, like I just, you know, and I'm eager to see Michelle too. Maybe he's get something. I thought Hill looked good in the limited time he was on the field.
Yeah, and I was just gonna say, it's not like Hill was a big back. Yes, he was probably gonna be their short yardage guy, but he wasn't. He did a little bit of everything well, and I just wrote this afternoon. You know, that's a tough blow for them. I thought he was, to this point, until Burkhead gets his legs under him and he can prove he can stay healthy, to me, Hill's their best overall back. And so I think it is a little bit of a blow for them, for, you know, if you care about running backs at all.
Oh, complete non-factor. Complete and utter non-factor. Their guy last year who really did it was Gillislee, I thought. But, you know, what does it? Their rushing touchdowns last year. Lewis had 6, Gillislee had 5, Burkhead had 5. Does it really, like, please, it's not going to make one hill of beans a difference. Mike in Framingham. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, how you doing? Bedard was coming down on Deshaun Jackson going into double coverage to his best receiver. You obviously didn't hear what Gronk said at the end of the game. Every quarterback throws sometimes into double coverage to their best receiver. I don't think remember the Super Bowl against Atlanta when we were doubling Julio Jones, and they were still successful.
Actually,
they had a top receiver.
I actually didn't have a problem if he would have thrown into double coverage.
I don't think
to
he
Deshaun
did.
Watson.
Instead, he just held the ball.
Yes, you that was my
Watson
point.
Into up to Hopkins.
Damn it!
It's okay. He wouldn't
DeAndre
throw it up.
Hopkins.
He wouldn't throw it up to Hopkins.
Yeah, he wouldn't. I mean, I would have been okay if he looked off Hopkins and then just threw it up to him, because that guy can make those kind of plays. He never made those throws. He was gun shy. He was tentative in the pocket, and it just played into what the Patriots wanted.
The guy he did throw in double coverage was the other Jamoke at the back of the end zone.
Yeah, that was a good decision.
He got that one picked off.
No, right. Gilmore came over and picked it off. I told you, listen, I know Patriots fans get agitated. They played okay in this game defensively. Good. I mean, I would say pretty good defensively. Like, not an A-plus game.
Small G.
But Watson, really, Watson sucked. He was horrible in this game.
That interception play is a perfect example of what I'm talking about, because he had the running back in the flat early. If he just would have gotten to the top of his drop, saw he didn't have anything real quick, dumped it down to the running back, it's a productive play, which Brady does over and over and over again. Instead, you know, Watson throws it up for grabs and it's picked off. It was just while they were, you know, at the 50. I mean, it was just a stupid play.
42. Anthony in Dorchester is even better than that, Greg. Anthony in Dorchester, what do you got?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going good. What do you got?
Just the defense. I don't know. I couldn't remember if it was Maz. He said that the defense might not be as good as we think because of who they're going up against in practice. Was that you guys?
Yes, no, no. He was saying that the early reports on the defense were positive, and then we said, well, they're going up against an offense that wasn't ready, so maybe that's the reason it looked good. Does that?
I just thought Gilmore looked really the $25 million player that we paid him to be last. You know what I mean? He's kind of fit into that role, and one play on Hopkins, I thought he did great in the first half. I think he had at one point, it was like one catch for negative 7 yards, and so, they basically just didn't come down to the linebackers. And
well, let me just stop you. Gilmore. Specifically, Greg,
he was good.
How can you like that small?
Well, game? Because there were about five or six times where DeAndre Hopkins was throwing a hissy fit after plays because he was open and Deshaun Watson didn't see him. You know, so that was going on in the game. So look, Gilmore was good. You know, and I am encouraged by what he's doing. I mean, I've been saying for a while that I expect him to have a good season, and I think he will.
This is Greg's way of saying, keep it in your pants. The defense really didn't really do anything. Houston blew in this game.
Yeah, they had one player to cover.
He just can't deliver it like we can deliver.
No,
like,
that's right.
He's not going to openly just, you know, agitate and troll Patriots fans and get in their face about it. He's going to smack his lips and consult his clipboard and, you know, do that thing.
Because he is tact.
But that's basically what he's saying.
He is
dignity. But the thing is like,
keep it in your pants, Patriots fans. The Texans sucked.
That being said, you know, Patriots defense will have these games, and I will be all over their case saying, like, oh, no, they played really bad, and the other team didn't take advantage. That wasn't really the case in this one because the Patriots actually executed really well on all three levels, and sometimes you don't see that. So I am encouraged. It's just, you know, there were opportunities for the Texans to take advantage, and Watson just didn't do it.
So you said Hopkins threw hissy fits sometimes after plays.
Yeah.
Was one of them that fourth down pass to Griffin in the end zone that was 10 yards behind him? Do you remember that one? Fourth and five.
Over his back shoulder.
Watson threw it like, and because I think they showed Hopkins on TV at that point, throwing his arms in the air, like, what are you doing?
Yes.
Okay. And I have my second question to you is, realistically, how hard are the Texans to defend?
Look, I heard you guys doing your Texan sports talk radio yesterday.
With very.
My buddy, Billy. I thought their game plan was fine. Deshaun Watson just was incapable of executing it. That's how bad he was. I mean, there were guys open at times. The running game was doing some things. And then Deshaun Watson would get to the top of his drop and hold it for 3 seconds and ruin everything. I mean, these offenses are specifically designed and timed up for drops, routes, everything. When the quarterback doesn't get rid of the ball at the top of the drop, it makes everything screwed up. It's just like Russell Wilson early on in his career, where he'd hold on to the ball and run around. No. He got better
when he
started throwing the rhythm of the offense.
You just described the Packers offense, because all they do is he gets to the top of his drop, no one's open, he dances around and then chucks it 80 yards down the field. That's all they do. And that sucks. I'm not saying it's a good thing. I hear you, Bedard. So Greg Bedard's in studio. He's watched the film, The All 22. Let me see that, Bedard. What is that? That's your clipboard.
He's got his clipboard.
Look at that. Let me see this thing. Is that weird? Like, this thing's legit. Like, look at that.
Yeah, I'm just curious.
Can we zoom in on that anyway? Like, you can't even. It is.
Are there any duck sauce stains on that?
I think there's a little mustard on it. Anyway,
I think it's soy.
The first episode of Three Up, Three Down coming your way right after Murray's update. The Bruins make a trade today. There was breaking Bruins news today. Details here. Three Up, Three Down right after.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now, it's time for Three Up.
He throws down the middle for Adam. Ball tipped. And Julian diving for it. Did he make the catch?
He did.
Three Down.
Airborne to the uprights. And the kick bangs off the right upright. The reading.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Three Up.
Driving forward. It's diving to the goal line.
It's still
on. Touchdown. And a title.
Three Down.
Jackson sends Garoppolo. Throws down the middle. And it's fucking and nearly intercepted before it was nearly caught by Edelman.
That's 3 weeks in a row.
Here on Felger and Mez.
All right, this is good stuff. This is some hardcore football. You want to know how the guards played? How the big fat guys on the D-line played? Who set the edge? This sort of stuff? This is for Bedard. This is stuff we normally say, do it on your own time, but no, we do it on Bedard's time.
By the way, did you see the story about the high school offensive line coach who gives his linemen maple syrup after they make pancakes.
I saw this today. It's amazing. It's everything that you live for.
Yes. Diabetes, too.
Maple syrup, huh?
Can we start giving it to you during the segment?
It's a perfect combination for Bedard, right?
You just hook him up to an IV.
So he's gone over the coach's film, which was posted last night at midnight. He stayed up till 4 o'clock in the morning reviewing it. He's got his clipboard out. He's got his charts. He sent in his charts. Vinny or Ben out at the simulcast there. Do we have actual charts to show the simulcast audience? So if you're watching right now, this is what he does. On defense and offense, he tracks sacks, hurries, hits, total quarterback pressures. That's tote QBP. Then run stuffs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So there you
love
see
the
it
run stuffs.
On offense and defense. He does it for the offensive line as well. So, for example, Waddle, Tooney, Shaq Mason, and David Andrews all gave up a half sack. But they only gave up pressure on 19.5% of Brady's dropbacks. I assume that is excellent.
That is very good, yes.
Okay, three up, three down, three studs, three duds. Who's your number one star for the Patriots?
Trey Flowers. He was awesome in this game. 1.5 sacks, 2 hits, 2 hurries, 2.5 run stuffs. I had to go into another column. He was doing so many good things in this
game. You had to create a column for him one?
Yes.
Yeah, what are those extra columns?
Just, you know, my different notations.
Yeah, Vinny had to crop it out along with the grease stain that was on the paper. Otherwise, you would have seen it.
Duck sauce. this guy is, so he's validating by the day. You were a little worried about him going to the other side, isn't he?
I was, but I'm not going to go nuts against the Texans who have 2 terrible tackles and they ended up a rookie. So I'm not going to go nuts. But this was a very good start. And if he wants to get paid, this is the way to
okay.
go.
Okay. Yeah, the number one up, without question, should have been Gronk. Gronk was the best player on the field all the way around. There was no answer for him for anybody. He was the number one star of the game.
Just so you know, Maz plays along. He does not have a clipboard. He does not watch the coaches.
No, I just go with my eyeballs and my gut.
Second star there, Greg.
You know that Gronk fumbled too, right? Uh-huh. Gronk. I mean, he was awesome in the game. The thing that I'm encouraged about is that he was good all around. Like, you will see in the past, sometimes his blocking kind of lags behind, but he was on point in this game. And you know, some of the coverages, I mean, they were, like, vicing him all the way down the field. And not only was Brady throwing it to him, but him to make those catches, I mean, he was just awesome.
To me, Phil Dorsett, I thought he was terrific in this game. And again, 7 for 7. Like, you can give that kind of efficiency for a guy out of nowhere. And I say out of nowhere, relatively speaking. Maybe not out of nowhere for Greg, but for me, Dorsett, I thought was good.
Third star.
David Andrews.
Had to do it.
I gave him a half sack. That was the one where the rushers split him and Mason.
Up. Yep.
And he expected Mason to help him a little bit more, so I split it. I'm not sure who was ultimately responsible. But other than that, he was perfect in this game. And he really controlled the middle. Did a nice job.
So I went Dietrich Wise. I thought Wise was really good. In fact, you really could have picked pretty much the whole, you know, all the pass rushers, defensive line. I thought the guys on the interior were good, too. You know, they pushed the pocket. To me, that was a huge thing. So, but I went Wise because, you know, I thought he was the best of the lot.
Third, to the duds, the good stuff. Number one dud.
Riley McCarron.
That's an easy one.
Don't catch it with your face.
Yeah, Riley McCarron. We hardly knew ye. See you later. Good luck, Tendon Bar.
Smell ya later. Second dud.
Marcus Cannon. I thought he really, really struggled in this game, and it's probably why Waddle, I think, played a balance of the game. You know,
Mason gave up the deflection that led to the interception, didn't he?
Yes, but that wasn't on him. I would put that on Brady. Should have moved a little bit more and just, I mean, the guy was right in his face. But that Marcus Cannon just had issues with J.J. Watt and other people. But this is not unexpected because he is coming back. He hasn't practiced hardly at all. So there is going to be some rust, but they need to get him going because they need that right side to be, you know, decent at least.
I would say the whole kickoff coverage team, but since I have to name one person, I'm going to put it in the care of Matthew Slater. How about that? That was brutal. Seriously. And that's something they're usually good at. And I started to wonder with this whole new rule of not being able to run up to the kick, do they have to revisit this whole thing with Gostkowski dropping the ball in at the 5-yard line? If you can't get down there as fast and the guy can run out to the 20 before you get down there, what's the point? Just start belting it out of the end zone. You know what Houston's average starting field position was in this game?
No.
The 35-yard line.
You know that drives Bill crazy.
35-yard line. That's way too far out there. He wants to be down by the 20. Last year, they were one of the best teams in the league in it. On Sunday, and by the way, Greg, they sucked at it in the preseason, too.
Yeah, they are going to have to rethink it. I mean, if they can't cover better, then they're just going to have Gostkowski booted in the end zone and get it over with.
Third dud.
Malcolm Brown. I thought that he was...
He should have had a safety.
He was... Yes, he missed a couple tackles in this game. That 31-yard run, he was there. He missed the tackle. Had some problems with gap. And by the way, I want to correct it. Cannon played more than Waddle in this game, but I thought Waddle was a little bit more effective.
Okay, but Malcolm Brown, not impressed.
No, and this goes with what we saw in the preseason in training camp that, you know, his play has been uninspiring this year. I don't know what the deal is, but and Shelton had some gap issues in this. Those guys are going to have to tighten up, or else they are going to have problems in the running game.
Chris Hogan, useless in this game. And again, Edelman's out. You know, they're short at wide receiver. It would be nice if he could give him something. 1 for 5, useless.
Okay, back to your phones. Bedard's in studio. Anything you want on the Patriots? He'll also defend his boy, Bill O'Brien. We'll do that all when we come back for a long commercial-free segment.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Magenta?
Janta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
One thing that's made clear to the head coach on the sideline is that put your red flag away. So I hand my red flag to Mike Parson. And they tell you that everything, you know, that's reviewable is subject to a booth review. And so when Gronkowski made the catch, upstairs our guys said, hey, look, I can't really tell. It looked to me from the field that he made the catch. I don't really have the benefit of 9 different angles. The clock was running down. I wanted basically the Patriots to operate and see if they could do what they needed to do relative to taking a timeout to allow New York more time to review. I very much realize that I can take a timeout there. I decided not to because I felt from my vantage point that it was a catch, and that's what I went with. They didn't buzz down in time, okay? I do realize that I can take a timeout. I just didn't make that very clear. I didn't answer that question very well last night to John, and for that, I just want to clarify that.
He's still going on. They tell you to put
here
the
we go. Houston Sports Talk Radio, day two on Felger.
They tell you to put the flag away. They do. I give it to Parsons. You know, I didn't want to give the Patriots any more time. I didn't want Do you think he really knew the rule, Mass?
I don't. I don't believe he knew it. And when I say that, I mean, I think he knew he could take a timeout. I don't think he knew that he would have gotten it back if we won the challenge.
And why he would even care about
well,
that?
Well, that's right.
I mean, with 40 seconds left and 3 timeouts, and he's on defense, you're not going to need him anyway, numbskull. So, Bedard, this is your guy. A lot of writers love this guy. Can we please cease and desist with the Bill O'Brien stuff? He gets in game. I don't know what he is out of game, what his schemes are, and all that. I'll leave that to you. But I do watch him in game. The game speeds up on him. It's another one of these guys that the game speeds up, it gets too big, and he can't keep up.
I'm not going to disagree with you. I will say this. It's not just Bill. It's other people. Like, I think, was Patricia calling the defensive signals last night? Was he calling the game?
I couldn't tell what the hell he was doing.
Oh, God, please. We'll get to him in a little bit.
But anyways, Matt Nagy is, like, buried in his play chart. Like,
yeah, no,
these guys, it drives me crazy.
All
you
right.
cannot match wits against Bill Belichick, who sits there and watches the whole game when you're buried in your play sheet. I would see the Texans' defense be terrible, blow a play. I'm looking to see if O'Brien, through my binoculars, is O'Brien saying anything to anybody? Nope, he's buried in his play sheet. You can't coach like that. Go coach the football team. Let somebody else coach the plays.
Look at the clock. Look at the flow of the game. Get a feel for what's happening in the actual game, not your scheme and your play sheet, exactly. And lead your team as a CEO, because that's what that position is.
I totally agree with you. And I
who does it anymore? You know, so few guys do it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, even like Andy Reid, you know, calls his own plays, and he misses a bunch of stuff.
Well, this is
Mike
why.
McCarthy misses a bunch
this
of stuff.
This is why.
Well, yes, it drives me crazy.
I mean, remember, Peterson did it too, right?
Or you could just stand there and do absolutely nothing, which is Mike Tomlin, other than yell at the officials and pat your players on the ass, which I think is all that he does. I've never seen him call a play. And his game management, I mean, what is it? But so either way, you know, he was back at it. But there was another play last night, if you watched that Jets game. So the second part of the question is, do you think that would have been a catch? Should it be a catch?
I thought it would have been a catch, and I think it should have been a catch.
Okay. I think it would have been a catch, and it should not be a catch, but it would have. Did you see the Quincy Enunwa catch last night?
I didn't see this either.
In the first quarter, it was sort of an innocuous play. It was over the middle. I think it was in the first quarter, I believe, maybe on their first scoring drive after Darnold threw the pick six, their next drive, they went down the field. And it was, did you see it, Murray?
I did, yes.
Okay, you want that to be a catch?
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Oh, my God.
Yep, open it up, make it entertaining.
So, I mean, there's no other way to describe it. You just got to see it. Google it, YouTube it, whatever you do. Go look it up in one of your apps. The ball is out, it's on the ground, and he basically lifts it off the ground. I mean, if the ground wasn't there, it's down. If, like, you just, like, it's sort of like the Gronk play, I think, that if the ground wasn't there, the ball's falling. It's the ground brought it back up. But if they're allowing the Quincy Enunwa catch, then they're probably allowing that Gronk catch, which is absurd. You understand that if the ground's not there, he doesn't hang on to it.
I mean, to me,
he needed the ground to hang on to it.
Yeah, to me, the ground helped Gronk secure the ball. But the way the rule is now, they're going to allow that. And so I told you yesterday, I thought that Gronk would have been a catch.
They've gone too far in the other direction. You're going to see it, folks. The ball's going to be out, going to be rolling on the turf, and they're going to allow these catches. It's silly. The Enunwa thing last night was silly. It was silly.
I liked it.
And the Gronk thing, not much better. So when O'Brien says he thinks they would have upheld it, he's right, but I think he's doing this after the fact, don't you? Like he's you know, that's excuse making.
Yeah, he had no idea what was going on. And if you're going to call the plays, you better have a really good set of eyes up in the booth who's keeping track of everything, like Ernie Adams to the nth degree, that sort of guy. And I don't know, I knew Bill used to have this guy that he knew. I don't think he's there anymore. So I don't even know who that guy is for him. But it's just, it's not good enough. I mean, I could tell you when that play went on, he was thinking about, okay, once the Patriots kick the field goal, what's our drive starter on the next one? That's what these guys do. And he just can't be doing that. He needs to be in touch with what's going on in the game.
I mean, when you really think about it, he whiffs so badly, it's not even funny.
Oh.
Like, to sit there afterward and say, you know, I'm thinking about getting into the locker room down 14-6. Once Gronk cut the ball, they were going to kick a field goal. Like, the field goal was in play at that point. Why wouldn't you take the shot of pushing him back 30 yards? He whiffed. He whiffed so badly, it's not even funny.
Okay, so there's the follow-up on that. That cut was from O'Brien yesterday, so the day after his excuse-making. Back to your phones with Bedard here. Gerard in Cambridge. Go ahead, Gerard.
Hey, this question for Bedard, so Felger, don't hang up on me. But I thought Claiborne, besides Willie McGinnis and Seymour, I thought he played, I know it's one game, but he played the best as far as situationally, when to rush, when not to rush, you know what I mean, when to set the edge. I mean, I thought he looked unbelievable. I don't think he had great stats, but...
Okay, so let me
say... Yeah, he's definitely an upgrade.
I am going to hang up on you because your point's over, Claiborne.
Yeah, I mean, Claiborne is an upgrade, and I think he'll be... He was fine in this game. I don't think he had all that many opportunities. A couple times he was disappointing himself, not finishing plays. But, you know, he's a good football player, and he is, you know, one of those reasons that I wrote a column this weekend that said these Patriots are better than the team that lost to the Eagles last year because they have upgraded in certain spots. And I think as a whole, I think this team is better.
I thought he'd be out there more.
I think the defense has a chance to be better. I'm not giving you the offense yet. The defense has a chance. I think the offense is going to be hard-pressed to be what it was last year. But we'll see. Bert in Maine. Go ahead, Bert.
Yeah, right. I just want to ask Dad one question. These two guys they picked up, they just something you get off the scraps, scrap heap, or do you put them in the dumpster? That's all I want to know.
Okay, Benny Fowler, receiver formerly with Denver, was signed today, and then some other guy who was drafted in the first round by Buffalo or Cleveland and then went to the other and was cut from there, too. I'm purposely not going to remember those details.
Casey Coleman.
That's who was signed.
Corey.
Whatever.
Same thing.
Benny Fowler is a good football player. I think he'll contribute. I think he'll stick. I wouldn't expect anything great out of him, but he could be productive by the midway point in the season. He's been a lot of different offenses that he executed in Denver.
Can he play in the slot?
Yes. Yeah. He can do a little bit of everything. Coleman, I don't know. Guy's got small hands and he's got an attitude. So I don't know.
Sounds like a small brain. A bad combination.
That too. And the Baylor guys, they're all entitled and that kind of thing. Not a fan.
So those are your new receivers. The Benny Fowler, I do sort of like the sound of. I do. Mark in Medford. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, I was kind of surprised that I didn't hear Trent Brown's name in either Maz or Bedard's 3-up column. I mean, there was no pressure from Brady's blind side at all day. He frustrated the crap out of Clowney. I think he deserves to be in that three up category.
Okay, give me a thought on Trent Brown.
Yeah, he was in the discussion, but there were, you know, I mean, on a team with Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski, and you had a bunch of guys. He did well in this game.
How was his conditioning? Did he hold up all 6
Yeah,
minutes?
He did great. He, you know, there was not that sort of foreplay thing that he had in one of the preseason games. He was good. I thought they were going to need to rest him at some point, sort of like they did with Cannon, sort of move Waddle over there. But I think sort of the flow of the game didn't really dictate it. It's not like the Patriots had, like, you know, they weren't playing like 30 snaps out of 35, you know, in a row or anything like that. So I thought he did well. And like I said, you know, this summer, he's an upgrade on Nate Solder. He is an upgrade.
Why are you smirking?
It must have killed you to not have him in the three up.
No.
You've been patting yourself on the back for Trent Brown all summer. Must have killed you to not have him in the top. Does he bring an apple for you?
No, because I put it into context.
Jelly donut.
I put it into context because, you know, most of the lack of pressure had to do with number 12. He gets rid of the ball. They go quickly. They do different things. They're running, you know, play action this way. They're cutting guys, that sort of stuff. So it's not like he had to drop back. And plus, the score dictated that the Patriots could do whatever they wanted to do. Now, show me Trent Brown blocking against Clowney or Watt when the Patriots need to score two touchdowns driving the field. Then we'll see what happens. But that wasn't that type of game.
Okay, we're talking football with Bedard. We'll get to 10 questions around the league coming up at 3:20. But we continue with your calls right after Murray's update here. 90 seconds, no commercials. There's two open lines if you want to grab them. 617-779-0985.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.